Amen. Well, good morning. It's so good. You may be seated. Waiting for me to say that. Others didn't need that instruction, but if you need it, you may be seated. If you need to stand up, move around, you're welcome to do that as well. I know some it's more comfortable to stand than to sit, or sit than stand, and so glad you could be comfortable, but also God's Word should make us a little uncomfortable as well. But it's a blessing to be with you. Glad to have each one here. Good to see those that are here recovering from illness and sickness and sadness. Those that are here that we've been shared tables with and fellowship around on Wednesday night, good to have you here visiting with us, worshiping with us. It's such a blessing to be able to share in worship together, the worship of our God and Father. So good to share in fellowship, sharing our lives one with another, sharing our love for Christ, our love one for another. It's a blessing to be able to share in ministry, using our gifts to love one another and to serve each other in love. It's a blessing to be able to make disciples and share life. You know, we've been asking this question, why church? Why church? Because church is the community. The church is connecting one with another in the body of Christ, flesh and blood coming together. That is something you cannot do on your own. I mean, we can find great lessons, we can find great worship, we can find great ministries, but you cannot connect with the body of Christ by yourself. You have to be together, and that's what the community of the fellowship of believers is. Nowhere else can you find that than the context of church. And nowhere else can we connect with body and the blood of Christ than when we connect around communion to share in His death, burial, and resurrection, breaking bread and drinking of the cup and sharing communion one with another. It's a blessing to be together as the body of Christ, to know that we are here sharing in our love for God and one for another. Now, you've been stopped this morning by a chalkboard out there, and Carol is taking pictures of every member of our church. We're working on an online directory, a mobile directory. There's also a sheet of contact information. I know members are saying we have that you have our information, but just to make sure we have the right information, there's some more information that you can give there for help us to better connect, and there'll be more information about that. So if you haven't grabbed one of those papers, please fill that out and give that today or the next week. If you haven't gotten your picture taken by Carol, please do that. We have about 157, 159 members, and so great that we have that count, and we want to do better in how we connect one with another. Also want to let you know about tonight, 6 o'clock, come for a night of sharing and praying together. We've been praying about faith and vision and mission. Have an opportunity to share as we share what God has been sharing with you about how we continue to grow in faith, what our vision and future of our church is, and what our mission is as we make disciples, as we know Christ and make Christ known. And we're going to have some time of praying and worship and sharing together. So come tonight at 6 o'clock and join in that time of praying and sharing with us. You know, it's great to be a part of a church that shares tables with others, that shares food with others, that shares clothes with others, that shares shoes with others, that shares time together with others, that shares prayers together. It's great to be a part of a church that comes together and prays and writes cards to encourage, that sends flowers to those who are in sorrow. It's a blessing to be a part of a church that sits with those who are on hospital beds and that are passing from this life to the next. It's a blessing to be a part of a church that's generous with both time and money. Both of those things are precious commodities. It's great to be a part of a church that shares those things. It's great to be a part of a church that does well at building others up. And so you might wonder, why should we talk about church? You know, why church? When we are the church, and we seem to be a church that's being church and living church. Because it's important to talk about church because less and less people are attending church. Less and less people are missing out on gathering together as community. Less and less people are gathering together on a regular basis to partake of bread and wine in the body of Christ. More and more are living in isolation. More and more are lonely. You know, true poverty is loneliness. You know, 78% of most churches are over the age of 40. Do you know that most church attenders, like yourselves, like myself, that are active, that are contributors, on average, we attend twice a month. Some of you are like, I'm better than that. And yes, you are. Praise God for that. But less and less nationally are not. So it's all important to talk about why church. Because of the community, the fellowship, the body of Christ. You know, why talk about church? We talked about a few weeks ago that why church? Because when we come to know Christ and the Holy Spirit fills us, the Holy Spirit unites us as the body of Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the church. We cannot disconnect that because that's who we are. That is our identity. And why church is because we love Jesus. We love being here. We love being together with His body and connected to Him and sharing in fellowship and sharing in ministry and sharing life in His name. Amen? Isn't that why you love being here? Isn't that why you love church? Because you love Jesus, because the Spirit is in you. And this is who we are. So why talk about church? Because more and more are living in isolation. And the church is in the best place to help with that isolation, to help with those needs, to help with that poverty, that hunger for others. You know, the church is in the best place, best position to help others. You know why? Because we have a hope that transcends all other things. We have a hope that transcends all life's problems. And we know it does because we have a holistic view of our humanity. When God says, love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and your strength. And Jesus Christ, He had a heart, He had a soul, He had a mind and a body, and He grew in all those areas. But yet in all those areas of our lives, our mental, our social, our physical, and our spiritual, we face brokenness. And we understand that. And we believe in the power of the resurrection to provide healing and life in all those areas. Because we have a holistic view of humanity. We know that's not just something we can separate out. And we're in that position because we have hope in the resurrection. And we believe in the well-being of all of our well-being and all of our brokenness. And we are accessible. We are accessible. We have open doors. We have a street front here. And all of you, you have an open heart wherever you go. We are the body of Christ mobilized. We are accessible to those who are broken and need wherever we go. It is not hard to find the body of Christ. And because we are in a great position, because we're not alone in that, we have a supportive, loving community right here to use our gifts to provide healing and help for ourselves and for all who are lonely, all who are isolated. You know, why talk about church? Because more and more people are living in fear. And rightfully so. We live in fearful times. But I don't know a time in history when people were not afraid. But fear is real. Fear of others is real. But what can man do to you if you are in Christ? Whom shall we fear? You know, we as a church are a loving church. I love that our church is known for that. We're not just known for that reader board out there. We're known that this is a loving church that helps people and has helped people for a long time. When you knock on the door, you will get help. You'll be listened to. You'll receive food or clothes or someone to talk to. When anyone walks in these doors, they feel and know the love. But that love has got to transcend into compassion. Compassion is the hands and feet activity of that love. But we know when we become compassionate, when that love becomes compassion, it's going to bring about suffering. Because as you begin to lay hands on those that are broken and lives that are broken, you become broken. You become stained. You take on that damage. You know, most missionaries that go to foreign places in the world where there's diseases, they say, don't go there because you're going to suffer and you're going to take on their diseases. And they go anyway. Because they have a hope that transcends. Because they believe in the power of the resurrection over every physical, mental, spiritual, and social brokenness or mess that comes on them. And that suffering will turn into sacrifice. It'll cost us time, image, money, even our own lives. And that suffering could even lead to death. But you know, church is a fearful place because it's where people gather. And I know many people are afraid of gatherings, afraid of others, and rightfully so. Because being with others is dangerous. It's risky. We don't know what anyone will say or do when we gather together as the body of Christ. Being together with others in the body of Christ can be very uncomfortable because we're messy. We're needy. We're broken. We're not perfect. And so why church? You know, church is uncomfortable because it requires of us to give, to count the cost. Who likes to give? Do you like to give? Some are like, yeah, some of you do. And you're good at it, and praise God that you have that gift. I don't always have that gift. I like my stuff. I like my time. I like my comforts. I like my day off. Yesterday, I actually got a day off, and it was nice. My plan was to do nothing. And if someone said, are you busy? I said, yeah, I'm busy. I got plans to do nothing. And it was nice. But church is hard because it's about people and because it's messy and it's broken and it requires something of us. So why church? Because the message of the cross is a message of a Savior who loved us, who had compassion, who suffered and sacrificed and died for a messy, broken world. Mother Teresa says, pain and suffering have come into your life, but remember, pain, sorrow, and suffering are but the kiss of Jesus, a sign that you have come so close to Him that He can kiss you. The message of the cross is forgiveness, salvation, victory, and life. I'm thankful that we can be broken here. I'm thankful that we can be messy here. You know why? Because God wins. Because God wins. That's why we can be broken and needy and messy. And we can be around others who are broken and needy and messy. You know, I've been taking a graduate school class, been working on my master's, and I thank the church for supporting me in that. I'm almost done with that master's program, Master's of Arts in Christian Ministry. I have one more class into the summer and then this fall, and then Lord willing, by end of this year, I'll have that. And I told my kids, I said, you know, I'm doing this master's. They're like, what's that? What are you talking about, Dad? Master's, graduate school. I said, at the end of this course, you're going to have to call me master. And Leah did the same thing you just did. Well, in the class counseling skills, you know, last part of it was evaluating the stresses of ministry and of being a minister. And, you know, there's times and seasons where I looked at that list and I was like, I'm doing pretty good. A couple weeks later, I'm not doing very good. Pretty overwhelming. Pretty stressed out. But the teacher said something. Have to realize I am just a person. I am just a person. Each one of us need to say, I am just a person in need of love and compassion, just like everyone else. I'm thankful that we are a church where friends that sit outside all day, that sit on the corner all day, can come and have a meal made in love and be around people who have a love and a hope that transcends all brokenness. I'm thankful that we have a church that people that need a place to be socialized. We have a friend who comes on Wednesday night. He's autistic. And not very many social places he likes to be, but he likes to be here. And I know it's because of the love and the hope of the body of Christ that he can't find anywhere else, but he's finding in here. I'm thankful for folks that can come here that are hurting, that have lived long lives and careers, but are now at the end of the stages of their life, that are suffering from physical ailments, that are finding love and hope and comfort in the body of Christ and receiving not just a meal, but love and prayers and are calling out to Jesus. I'm thankful for a church where mothers can bring their children on a Sunday and the babies can be held so they can partake in worship. I'm thankful for everyone that can come with a hurt and a habit and a hang-up and a sorrow and a burden and a brokenness and a mess. In every area of our life, physical, spiritual, social, emotional. And we can find love and compassion because we are just people in need of Jesus. So is everyone else. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. The church was breaking out at the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and filled the body of believers, many more people were added to the Lord's church, and the church was breaking out, and it was growing, and it was expanding, and the apostles and the believers were finding great joy and sharing in the name of Jesus Christ, and they could not stop but keep telling about the name of Jesus Christ because he had died and rose again. And their hope was in the resurrection. And so they were not afraid of what man could do to them. And the church continued to grow and to expand. And the church was bold because of their belief. Their belief in the death, burial, and resurrection. If you're turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, we're going to be reading. There's some new pew Bibles there, so you can pull those out. Use those. Pull it up on your phones. Pull it up on the Bibles that you brought from home. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to have one, we can help you with that. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet in the Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. There was healing going on, and people were being added to their number, and they continued to gather in the name of Jesus. Good news or fear? Fear of a crowd? Fear of others? Fear of the unknown? Of what those who are coming to Christ or hearing about Christ, being healed by believers in Christ, what they might be bringing? Yes, great fear. Acts chapter 5, 17. When the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. You see the fear of the Sadducees? Of the crowds that were gathering. Now the Sadducees and the Pharisees, we know they gave Jesus a hard time. But these were men of God. that knew the Scriptures, that loved the God of Israel. But they were confronted with something that was new, a new teaching that challenged them. You know, new learning, new teaching challenges us. It confronts us. And when you're faced with something that you haven't heard before or knew before or could even see in front of you as being new truth, we respond in a couple of ways. Usually we cross our arms and we step back and we keep that at a distance. Or we can open up and lean into and become learners of this new thing. So the Sadducees, they had a strict observance of the law. They were letter of the law type of people. They liked to dot their I's and cross their T's when it came to the law. And so what they were looking for in the Messiah was not what they saw in Jesus, not what they thought. And these people were teaching in the name of Jesus and healing in the name of Jesus. And crowds were following, and that began to make them jealous. And so all the effort they had, only power they had, was the power of men. The power of men, that power, the first power of men, they say, is put them behind walls. Put them in jail. Stop them. Because they were challenged. Because they were confronted by this new thing. And you wonder, why couldn't they see? Why couldn't they see and know these were people of God? How come they couldn't see the truth that they were speaking in the name of Jesus? Why can't they see this new thing? Because they were challenged and they were confronted. And when we're challenged and confronted, we close up and we push away with the new things that God may be doing amongst us. Why couldn't they see the fulfillment? They were challenged and they were closed. And they were closed to the impossibility because the Sadducees, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's sad. If you don't believe in the resurrection, there is no hope, and you would be sad. And many in our world who still do not believe in life after death, that is sad, you see. Well, they were preaching a message of resurrection, and they were closed, and they were keeping them at an arm's length. Lock them up in jail. But what if? What if instead of locking them up in jail, they opened their tables to them? Invite them over for dinner and say, let's sit down and let me learn from you. Let me hear what this new teaching is. Let me hear what this new Jesus is, what this new word is. Let me hear from you. Let me lean in. Let me take the posture of a learner of this new thing. They said, but the angel broke them out and said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. What if these Sadducees built bridges instead of built walls? What if they built open their tables instead of throwing them into jail? These apostles were ones who had been with Jesus, who had seen him, who had walked with him, and had seen his scars on his hands and the scars on his side. They had eaten with him and saw him ascended. I mean, wouldn't you want to lean into someone who had seen all that? Why were they not able to see it? Why did they lock them up in jail? Because they were wrong. They were wrong. Well, it goes on. But see, the angels busted them out. Go preach. They continue to go out in verse 21. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officials and brought the apostles. They did not use force, because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Well, pause right there for a second. Here, they were afraid of the crowds, and instead of confronting them in a public scene, because perhaps something wasn't right
and what they thought was right. They said, no, shh, come behind closed doors. Come to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a gathering of about 70 to 100 of the Jewish teachers. Come in here and we'll talk. Because they were afraid of the crowds. Because what if they were wrong? And so they invite the men, stop teaching in this name. And Peter says, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Because of their fear, they wanted to use the powers of man to kill them. These people of God wanted to put other people of God to death. People made in the image of God wanted to put other people made in the image of God to death. People who were fellow Jews with them wanted to put them to death. Isn't it interesting how man has a fascination with death and with killing? As that the power that they have to stop anything that is challenging and confronting? I mean, think about the time in Israel when Pharaoh was getting concerned about this nation rising. He says, go kill all the baby boys. That'll stop it. We have the Pharaohs who did that. Then we get to the Herods in Jesus' time. Oh, the new Messiah has been born. Go kill all the babies. That's the greatest power that man has, the power of death. You know, Rome was good at killing and putting people to death. We know how they treated slaves, how they treated prisoners. They put them on display in coliseums and had the gladiators come and kill them while thousands and thousands of people watched them die. And not as a punishment alone for those prisoners, but as a lesson to all who watch to say, this is who has the power. Don't you go against this power, the power of Rome. Rome was good at putting people to death on crosses as a public display, not just as punishment, but to show all who watched them, don't you go against the powers of Rome. This is what will happen. Out of fear. I used to think that in our time, we knew nothing of that. I have not experienced that fear of that type of death for being a Christian. But there are people in our history of a different race that know death on a cross oh too well. After the end of slavery, freedom, people took it in their hands to unlawfully lynch many black men and women. People made in the image of God, hanging them on a tree. They say, this is what we do to those who are others who are free, that not like you and me. They know that oh too well, unlike how I had not known. And maybe you had not known. The powers of men to put people to death. What if instead of using the powers of men to execute death, we pursued life in the other, the potential in others, the opportunities for others, that these are just people like me, just people in need of healing and a Savior and compassion and love just like me. What if we saw people as people that could be won over by the love of Jesus? What if we saw ourselves as ones willing to consider, to change, to confess, to conform to what God was doing, what God was doing new today? The thing was that these Sadducees who wanted to put these apostles to death, they were wrong. They were wrong in their position against what they were speaking as truth. Praise God for the wisdom of a Pharisee. Again, we know Pharisees did not always treat Jesus well and followers of Christ well. But the Pharisees, unlike the Sadducees, they had a little bit of openness to interpretation of God's word. Where the Sadducees were pretty strict, the Pharisees had room for some interpretation. And so, in verse 33, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thutmose appeared, claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas and the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He, too, was killed, and all the followers were scattered. Therefore, the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." He says, God is going to win. So let's back up here. Let's stop putting people behind bars. Let's stop executing death. Let's stop putting people away. Let's sit back and see what happens. Let's be learners here. And so, verse 40, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. All right, we're almost done with the punishments. We're almost done with the powers of man. All right, we're not going to lock them up. We're not going to kill them. Let's just flog them. Which many did not survive floggings. Let's make it hard for them to continue. Let's make it hard for them to go on. Let's hinder them. Let's beat them down. Let's beat their bodies. Maybe we'll beat their spirits. Maybe we'll beat their minds into something else. And then we'll tell them, don't speak in that name. But they were wrong. They were wrong. What if instead of beating them and flogging them, they blessed them? What if they encouraged them, go, I bid you well. In the name of God, I bid you well. And built them up instead of tearing them down, giving them words of encouragement. And so why? Why, church? Why, church? Why gather? Because God wins. God has won in these scriptures over jail, over death, over flogging, over all the powers of what men can do. And these men overcame. It says in verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped preaching and teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. You see, their love led to compassion and it led to suffering and sacrifice and almost to the point of death, to rejoicing. And what did they do? Did they stop meeting? No, they continued day after day because they were the body of Christ, because they loved Jesus and they knew no matter what you do to my body, God wins. God wins. There is no fear in death. What is the new thing that God is doing today? What is the new thing God is doing today in your life, in this church, in our community? What is that new thing? Are we living in fear, isolation, or will we trust? Will we give? Will we open our tables and assume the position of learners? Will we extend life and see potential? Will we give blessings to what God can do through all others for the glory of His kingdom? Where do you need God to win in your life? Where do you need God to win in your life? Where are the things that are keeping you held back? Keeping you behind walls? Keeping you behind maybe jail cells? Where are things that are maybe killing you right now? Or things that are hindering you from the life that you hope for in Jesus? What are those things that we could share with you? That we could share in those burdens, those things of man that are keeping you at a distance, those things that are keeping you behind walls, those things that are killing you in your life, that are not giving you that joy of that rejoicing, that blessing. There's space here. There's bodies here of Christ to share in that. To say, we have love and we have compassion and we will suffer with you. And I know many are suffering and many are hurting in many different ways, physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally. We believe in a God that has overcome all that. And we can handle that because of the hope and the resurrection, because God wins. Where can we suffer with you? Where can we join you in those fears? Don't be alone. Come and be a part of the body of Christ. Share in that communion with Him and with His death and His burial and His resurrection. Where are you letting the powers of God keep you from others? Who are those others you would love to extend grace and mercy and life to today? God wins. If you want God to win in your life, come now as we stand and sing.